Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Bernardo asked, what sold you on Watson that doesn't sell you on Baker? I think he has a better rookie season than Watson. Go look at Watson's first seven games.
No, he wasn't
even close.
Yeah.
And I've seen the league adjust to Watson and Watson have to adjust, and I haven't seen that with Baker. And, you know, I also saw Deshaun Watson win a national championship against an NFL caliber defense in Alabama. So, yeah, I'm a lot more sold on him than I am a guy who comes out of a system and I'm starting to wonder about that. Maybe just everybody Lincoln Riley throws out there is going to throw for 5,000 yards.
I don't believe in this. Man, you got to hold on to your prospects because, man, that'll extend your window. No, it won't. You get another prospect and extend your window. Kyle Tucker's nowhere near untouchable in my mind. He's not that good. And when I say not that good, I'm not saying he can't play. I'm saying he's not so good that I'm worried if I move him that he'll be the greatest player ever. And I go, man, I let the greatest player ever go. That's not going to happen.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also, hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jerome Solomon, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel and get on the chat there. So plenty of ways to reach the show. Jerome Solomon filling in for A.J. Hoffman. I teased something probably an hour ago and never got to it, and I just remembered because we were having too much fun making fun of clowns. But the reason I would trade Forrest Whitley in a heartbeat, when was the last time the Astros had a pitching prospect that panned out, that was considered a decent prospect? And right now they've got Whitley, Corbin Martin, who's Tommy Johned, JB Buskauskas. I'll trade all three of them and their mothers if I could get a good player. I can answer it for you if you want. I can tell you who the last one that worked out was.
It probably turned out to be, what's the man, Lefty, Beard.
No, it's Lance McCullers is the last one that actually turned out. And then, of course, he's been hurt.
There's still, yeah.
He's good enough to be a major leaguer, a good major leaguer,
yes. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I think, well, you never know how a guy's going to come back from that surgery, but he's got ace stuff, and I think he's one guy that I look at and say, if he comes back from the surgery, he's going to be a really good pitcher and be an important piece.
I wouldn't go ace, but he's a top three pitcher.
I'm not saying he's an ace yet, but I think he has ace stuff.
Okay.
And I
– that nasty curve, no doubt.
Yeah, and I think so him, I would say that one, even though the injury here, he's worked out.
But that said – that's a really dumb reason to be willing to trade somebody.
Well, if you can't, my one criticism is, and look at some of the guys they drafted high. Mark Appel never developed, and they wound up getting rid of him.
Oh, no, I'm not debating your facts. I'm saying that's a really dumb reason because you don't want to get rid of the guy who would be the exception to that just because it hasn't happened for you recently. You know what I mean? Now, I'm with you on
straight percentages.
You go with the numbers.
Yeah, I'm going with the numbers here.
But no, if you go with the numbers.
And obviously, I'm being facetious, right, but the reality is that's been my one criticism of them is that none of these guys that were supposed to be top quality pitching prospects have developed.
You know what where I thought you were going when you were halfway into that sentence, when you were saying why? I thought you were going to say, when's the last time a hot top prospect like him came, you know, was almost made the roster, then started in the minors and flamed out so poorly that they had to back him down some, and then he blew up and became great. And I certainly didn't know the answer to that. And
I'm sure
it's happened, but that just seemed weird to me. The great ones, it's not 100%, but the great ones are usually really, really good, and they keep being good and keep getting better, and there are really not a whole lot of setbacks, and they're just great.
Now you have some that usually they fast track through the minors and maybe they get to the majors too soon and they don't do well at first and they go back down and then they come up.
But they don't do well in the majors.
Right.
He didn't do well.
I know.
In AAA. I'm like, so, okay, well, wait a minute. What do you mean we got to reorganize? Season just got going and he's been that bad for that long in the minors? You know, that stood out to me. And I'm sure people look it up and go, well, I can name you 25 Hall of Famers who had the exact same experience. Very possible and true, but it's not the norm, you know, for the great ones, the truly great ones. I think for the most part, they're at worst, they're just pretty good.
You know,
you can have guys who were never thought to be great and were just average all along in the minors. And then all of a sudden became really good for a good stretch of major league play. But top pick like that, either he is or he isn't usually.
Yeah, and sometimes pitchers take a little longer, especially you know, guys with big arms like that. Sometimes the development takes more than you hope, but you would have liked to have seen some signs of dominance at the lower level early and then move up.
Yeah,
But having said that, I mean, to me, if you really think he's a guy who could become that kind of pitcher for you, unless you're getting Noah Syndergaard back or a guy who's under control for two more years who Forrest Whitley might become someday, then I'm less inclined to do it.
Yeah, you don't give him away. The position player I see is much more... You found Tucker, you can find another Tucker. You can get those guys. You can, because that's what you do. You use those numbers with when's the last time a pitcher developed in their system and became that. They work obviously a lot better with veteran pitchers who come over and they start scuffing and do whatever they do with the ball.
Yeah,
and
become better. Spin rate.
They crank up that spin rate. But they also have gotten players who have gone through their system and become really good. And granted, a lot of that was, I don't think, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, I think whatever team had those guys were going to be as good as they are.
Yeah.
They haven't been hurt by the Astros. I'm not saying the Astros haven't helped them, but they're special players. They were going to be special players. And I think they're really good at scouting players and finding guys who know how to play this game.
And their hit rate has been pretty high with guys like that. Like
Correa, even Springer. Yeah.
Bregman, Springer was prior to Luno, and somebody was asking about wasn't Oswalt? Yeah, but Oswalt's 20 years ago.
Yeah, now he's going back.
And I'm talking about in the Luno era. Yeah. I mean, because you can't really
talking to Ed Wade and even before then. But I don't know if that's because of something they've done. Because I mean,
a lot of their focus has been on position players.
Appel ruins the curve. So there hasn't been drafted a lot of guys.
Well, then they drafted the top five. They drafted the guy that they never signed, which led them to Bregman.
That's how they got McCullers. You mean? Bregman next year.
Yeah. So that worked. But a lot of these guys though that come in is the top. It just seems year to year the guys who are the top pitching prospects in the system don't pan out, and that's okay because they're hitting on all the position players.
And they haven't
missed on too many of those, which is why.
That's more important because you know what? It's easy. I would rather be not more important, but I would argue I'd rather be in the Astros' position where they're loaded across the board and they just get to go pick and choose a star pitcher. So they go get Justin Verlander, World Series. Gary Cole could be World Series this year. I'd much rather be doing that than going trying to find a third baseman every year or a shortstop or a second baseman or a right fielder. You know what I mean?
Plug those guys in and you can go and cherry pick really good pitchers that have 2 or 3 years of team control.
Yeah.
All right. Tyler, I think I'm supposed to read something here. I'm supposed to tell
that was
you.
That's my bad.
That's okay. You're doing fine. I think he's doing fine.
He's doing just fine.
besthotelrates.com. As a matter of fact, I was looking at... You know, I can't afford to go now that I've spent all my money buying a place, but I was going to go to Lauderdale and play at the Seminole Hard Rock Tournament, and the first place I went was besthotelrates.com. Found some great hotel rates, and that's the best thing about them. I mean, they're going to give you – they've got over 600,000 worldwide to choose from. I've used them in Saskatoon, of all places. I was about to use them in Fort Lauderdale. So if you're booking your hotel and you want to get the best price, it's real simple, besthotelrates.com. Give them a try, besthotelrates.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jerome Solomon filling in. Oh, this show's flying by. Have a question for you specifically. Will a Houston team actually pull a credential if they're mad about a question? Could see them doing it for a radio station, but I cannot possibly see them doing it for a print publication. Have you guys had any issues with anybody? You don't have to get specific, but...
Yeah. No, I'd get specific on this one because I thought they were being ridiculous about it and still do, and it was kind of weird. But the Astros pulled a guy's credential because of a tweet. And I thought that was a little odd and strange and unnecessary and over the top. But the Astros are not the most sensitive team out there. The Texans are by far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They, believe me.
Trust me, if you read some of the emails the Texans have sent complaining about things that I've written, you would understand where I'm going with that. It's pretty amazing, actually. But no, they try not to pull a credential just because what do they gain from it, you know? And it's, you know, they have their rules and they say follow the rule and that's pretty much it. But that one with the Astros they could have made the point without yanking the guy's credential. I thought that was over the top.
Well, and what's interesting in general is, Astros credentials now are harder to get season long, and that's an MLB thing. It's not an Astros thing. Now, they're pretty easy to get.
They'll get game by game, but the season one.
Yeah, which kind of sucks, because if I had a season one, I would go to a lot more games, but it's too much of a pain in the ass to go and try to get one for one game. But the Texans have basically not given any radio credentials, season credentials, last year for anybody other than 610. Mm-hmm. Now, we had no problem with the game by game.
Right.
And Cody did them all. Is that going to be the same thing this year, Tyler?
Yeah, we're doing game by game. And apparently they didn't want to give season creds to 610 either. They wanted them to do game by game as well.
Well, I think that's also an NFL thing. But, you know, I think the...
I don't think the Texans run into an issue with space in the press box.
No, there. No.
You know, so that but, it'd be different if we're talking, you know, New York or Boston, where there's a limited number of seats and you don't just want fans in there. And a lot of these radio guys are just fans. And I get that. Even the ones who aren't doing their job, part of it is they're still a fan, not a, you know, quote unquote member of the media, as it were. But with the way that they get the publicity that they get from the media, et cetera, I don't think they need to be as discerning with the seating unless there's a space issue.
Yeah.
The Rockets, they have a limited number of seats that the media can sit in.
Yeah, and that's understandable.
And so that makes sense, yeah. And the Astros, that baseball clubhouse is pretty small, you know, but they're...
Yeah, it used to be a lot bigger.
It was a heck of a lot bigger. Now it's tinier. Now they're popular and people are buying seats. The last I looked was a few weeks ago, and they were number two in the American League in attendance. So that's great for them. They're doing very well. But yeah, it's the Texans have plenty of room in that particular one. But they don't snatch credentials for questions that you ask, but they can make it hard on you. They can, you know, not grant you interviews when you want to get someone one-on-one. They can just bug you. They can send your boss emails left and right complaining about what you've written and my boss can laugh at him, go, what do you think they're going to do? You're going to get in trouble? I let you write that. I don't have a problem with that. But
yeah,
and they have so many rules. Like, did you see the Texans rules? I might have it here. Did you from training camp rules on what you can and can't talk about?
I have not seen them because I haven't gone out there yet.
And I mentioned it in a column the other day, and they probably wrote a letter complaining about that. But it was in your rules because people break this rule all the time.
But I'm
sure they can decide if they want to pick on you. They can decide, hey, Jerome, you broke this rule, so we're going to yank your credential. They haven't done that yet, and they did to me, you know. I'd call Al Sharpton, and we'd go at it.
right then,
that's when I want Jesse on my side. No. But, you know, they're not that silly. But, like, read the what's of topics to avoid.
Let's see here. Potential severity of an injury until it's addressed by head coach Bill O'Brien. All right, let's keep in mind, what does Bill O'Brien say about every injury?
I don't know yet.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Game strategy, formations, plays, substitution packages, etc. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which players are practicing with individual units? First team, second team, etc. That's just dumb.
Yeah, so I mentioned in my column the other day from the first day of practice that, hey, you know, the quarterback with the first team threw a nice pass to this little receiver with the first team. You know, I can't tell you who those guys are because they told me I can't talk about who's playing with which team. But I will say that Deshaun Watson looks good, and this guy Kiki Kuti might be one of his favorite targets. But I can't mention that they're on the first team. But then I see people tell you who's with the first team offensive line.
And honestly,
but they're so mad at me right now.
Yeah, that, but there's no, you know, competitive disadvantage for that in the preseason.
Winning or losing. Yeah. You really think the opposing teams are going like, wait a minute, Whitney Mercilus is really running an outside linebacker on the first team?
Oh, Titus Howard is second team tackle? Oh, wow. Okay. There you go. Conversations that take place on the field between players and or coaches. That I get. I mean, if there's something that they're having a – now, it gets really loud and everybody can hear it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when they're joking about something or saying, and they're just casually – and we're there – and we can't. But when practice is open and the fans are there, the fans can tweet, can say whatever they hear.
Right.
But media can't. Come on. Now I can understand you wouldn't want to say Bill O'Brien explaining a pass pattern to a player or the play and how it works and the numbers. But if Bill O'Brien is like, man, it's hot out here, and J. Joe is like, I don't care, I'm going to go get into the freezer over here, and Bill O'Brien's like, man up, baby. Is that a problem? If that happens,
it shouldn't be.
It's
and then
they're just trying hard to be in your way.
Players who line up in positions different from the one listed on the current roster.
Yeah, that one I get because it is a strategy thing. But the Patriots called me one day after practice because I wrote a story in the Boston Globe, and I mentioned that at the end of practice it was a tackle eligible, and a guy caught a pass, and the team all celebrated, and that meant practice was over early, et cetera. And they're like, well, that's just a strategy thing. I said, you know, if you run that play in a game, the referee's going to announce it to the whole stadium.
Number 67 is eligible.
It's not going to be a surprise that this guy can actually go out into a pattern and catch it. But okay, I understand. You don't want me to give away strategy. Okay, fine. Whoopty darn do. I mean, give me a break. You know, Mike Vrabel caught a pass. Yeah, he's caught 9 touchdowns. You know, I don't think me saying that the linebacker lines up a tight end is a secret in the NFL.
Now, I totally get this stuff during the regular season. But for preseason, who cares what your game plan is for a preseason game? And right now, none of the stuff you're using is the kind of things you're going to try to hide from people when the season starts.
Yeah. So. And that's the cool thing with me as a columnist. I don't care. That minutia is meaningless anyway. It's really not even all that interesting or entertaining to me. But when I was a beat writer, You know, you people, you guys out there, y'all feed on every tiny little morsel that there is, and you want to know who's running with the first team, who's running with the second team, even though nobody's running, they're walking, because it's just practice. We're talking about practice here, people. It's not that deep. Until the games start, you have no idea who's playing well, and they're like, well, who's playing well today? Nobody, because they're not playing football today.
Yeah, and to the general point, though, of the teams, and this has been a trend for a long time, even back when we were working together, teams want to control the information that goes out, and they want it to be on their social media, and they want John Harris tweeting about it and stuff like that under their control. And, yeah, we got on their radar a couple weeks ago with something that one of our guys wrote about them, and they weren't happy about it. Excuse me, happy about it. And I'm like, well, I'm in Canada, so when I get back, I'll be happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
But and it obviously blew over. But the
thing that jumps out to me about that sensitivity is it costing them wins and losses? No, there's not much I can write that will make them win or lose a football game, I don't believe. And
yeah.
Is it really costing them tickets? No, you're not winning will hurt your ticket sales, but apparently that might not hurt too much because you sell out every game anyway.
And you got a waiting list.
You know, now that I might be able to drive people to say y'all suck when you're going 2-14, you really want to blame me for that? Is that my fault? You know, you really want to get upset at me that I look at your organization structure, your management structure, and all I see are white faces, and you think it's a problem that I point that out? You're upset at me because you're white and everybody in charge is white? That's my fault?
Yeah, and not only that, they are the most insecure organization in the city. They really are, and
and they've won the least.
And exactly. And that's why they're insecure. Well, and I think it's because half of the people over there have no clue what they're doing. And they realize they don't know what they're doing, and it's why they look stupid. And when people call them on it, they don't like it. All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. Got another listener party ticket giveaway coming up. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No AJ today. Jerome Solomon. How'd you like to win tickets to Jerome's lap or Tyler's lap?
Oh, sucky, sucky now.
listener appreciation party tickets. Here we go. It's 6:40. It's that time of year again where we want to thank you, our loyal listeners, at our 2019 listener appreciation party. Join the broadcast, editorial, and management team of ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap for an evening of food from Big City Wings and drinks provided by Coors Light at the home of Gal Media Thursday, August 15th at 6:30 p.m. So at 6:40 tonight, we are going to take caller 15. You're going to win a pair of tickets to meet and have up-close conversations with all of our ESPN 97.5 on-air personalities. I'm trying to get Jerome there.
Fred says he's doing mini Freaknik.
No, you're going to get a behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made. The only way to get an invite, and yes, please quit asking me. The only way to get an invite is to listen and win, so make sure to keep listening all week. You must be 21 plus to attend. Invitation only, so 6:40, there you go. Good luck. And see, Rockets Baby asking, how many more days do you stop giving away tickets to the listener party? I use two phones and still lose. I am trying to give everybody a shot by saying a certain time because that gives the streamers a chance. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, one of these, I'm going to figure it out because I think one giveaway I want to do some kind of Twitter deal, one I want to do some kind of text deal, and one I want to do something for the Twitchers to encourage them. So cool. I'm going to try to figure something out. I'm going to think about that tomorrow. And there you go.
I see you give the qualifier that you must be 21 to attend. Do they have to sign a waiver? You know, any kind of, you know, non-disclosure clause or anything that they may have to?
If they're going to come into my office, there's a non-disclosure. And there's like a little Matt Lauer lock. All right, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That's not factual at all.
The phone lines are lighting up with former interns. Yeah. Calling. Yeah, I told everybody. Nobody believed me.
Yeah, because you signed a non-disclosure agreement.
You're not allowed to speak about this.
Hey, I want to take a second to thank Twitter people a little bit here, because a bunch of people suggested I watch that show The Boys on Prime.
I've heard you and someone else that I know said the exact same thing.
I started watching it.
I've got to watch it now.
And I'm 6 episodes in, and it is...
Wow.
It is very cool. So, great suggestion. Okay. It's right up my alley, and it's a very different look at... It's almost a complete twist on superheroes.
Okay.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Because I'm not big on superheroes.
Oh,
so.
then you'll like this.
Then I'll get into this.
Yeah,
cool.
Because... but yeah, I started watching it yesterday, and then
you're already 6 in. That's yeah, a lot.
I started watching last night when the wife went to bed, and then I got up this morning after I got my work done and sat there and binged all day. So
nice. And, cool.
You know, I'm pretty sure she has work stuff tonight, so she's not going to be home, so I can go home and watch it. Cause we have this bit with the TV that's starting to drive me nuts. And in that she has shows that she likes that I can't stand. And when she's pissed off at me when I come home from work, that show's on.
It's on.
Yeah, and it's always like 5 minutes in.
Gotta watch the rest of this.
Yeah, so now that she's working later, I'm kind of flipping the script here. So she comes home.
You're one television household?
No, we got three. But, okay. You know, I've got it now where she'll go upstairs and watch it upstairs, and I can stay down there. Because I like my second floor TV. I like my
the setup.
Yeah, the setup's perfect.
Yeah.
So, like, now, if I really want to piss her off, Ancient Aliens.
She's not into that.
Yeah, she thinks that, I mean, she thinks it's a kind of thing, like the total well, it is a tinfoil hat thing, but I find it amusing. And
you're such a child.
I am a child. I make no bones about it.
You're just so immature sometimes.
I know. I don't pretend to be anything other than what I am, which is a 54-year-old child. I eat like a child. I act like a child. I drink like a child. And somebody asked, would your wife like it? I think my wife would love it, the show, because she likes different stuff, too. It's kind of... See, I kind of messed up because we sort of have this unwritten rule. Like, if we find a show that we think we're both going to like...
You wait
for the other one.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying this so much that I got 3 episodes in last night. Mm. And it's like, and once you do 3, it's kind of like, okay, well, I guess I'll just keep watching today, too. And, you know, so now I'm 6 in. I'm not even sure how many there are, but.
What's your take on this Stranger Things? Because I when it first came out, I remember watching the first episode, and I was well into it. And I was like, this is not really doing anything for me. And apparently I've missed out on the greatest of the great, because if I'd kept going, I'd be into it now, people tell me.
I thought season 1 was clever and different and really good. I thought season 2 was eh. I mean, season 3 better than season 2, but to me the whole thing is just kind of... I think the charm is gone for me in the... It wasn't bad, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good season, but the idea of the 80s nostalgia and the stuff like that, that was great for a season.
But now...
And now it's just kind of like, okay, this is getting old. And the other thing I didn't really... I mean, these kids can't act their way out of a box. I mean, the acting is so awful. I mean, except for like Winona Ryder and David Harbour and the people who can actually act.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids are such bad actors, and they're already growing up too much for it to work. And I just think people love it, so they're going to keep making them. But if I miss season 4, I'm not going to cry at all.
Yeah, see, like I just remember not even getting through the first full episode and just not feeling it at all. I was like, okay, why are these kids just riding around the bike? What's happening? What's going on? It just didn't didn't catch my interest at all. I mean, at all. But someone was telling me yesterday that, oh no, it's like Breaking Bad. You have to get 3 or 4 episodes in before it really gets going. I say, no, Breaking Bad, it had a pacing to it, but it grabbed me pretty early on. Yeah. I didn't start watching it until way after everyone else did. It was 4 or 5 seasons in before, but when I started watching, I was like, oh, wow, this is good stuff here. It wasn't 3 or 4 episodes deep.
Right, and for me to get into a show, I need a holy bleep moment fairly early. That's why I like The Boys.
Show me that is different.
Yeah, there was a holy bleep moment very early, and you're like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Okay. Yeah.
409 says, I've been an Ancient Aliens fan from day one. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything, but that show makes you think. Plus, I'm bald and I'm jealous of Giorgio's hair. Believe me, I've thought, once the hair grows out, I've thought about going Giorgio. Just Google Giorgio
yeah, and Ancient Aliens.
And yeah, and you'll see what we're talking about. That dude... What I love about that show is that apparently, I mean, there's some stuff there that makes a lot of sense that I enjoy, but they also will go out of their way to spin things. It's like,
that's nuts.
Ancient
aliens. What the heck he got on with it?
Ancient astronaut theorists believe. And so they're always saying ancient astronaut theorists. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what does that really mean? Couldn't I be an ancient astronaut theorist? I'm just making a theory, right? And that's,
so, wait a minute, are these theorists who are ancient astronaut specialists, or they're ancient astronauts theories?
They're theories about ancient astronauts.
Okay.
So I think I can be a theorist now.
There are ancient astronauts.
Yes. Well, ancient aliens who might have been astronauts. That's why you have to watch the show.
Oh, Lord.
This is my career goal. I so want to be the narrator for that show when their guy retires. He's 63 years old. He can't have much time left. Go ahead and retire. I want to be the narrator. I've been practicing. I got it down.
You ready to go?
Yeah. But what if it were really ancient aliens and not Jesus Christ? I've got the whole thing down. I'm ready to go. It's like, ancient astronaut theorists believe that Fred Fowler may have come from the year 1000.
That was a lot of pause there.
I'm ready,
that
man.
That was way too much pause there, Fred.
Oh, no, it's perfect.
Someone else is going to have to write this script for you.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, then now we'll take a look at Giorgio's hair. All right. But, yeah, it is more comic than...
I've never even heard of that
show. It's more comic value for me than anything. It's every Friday on the History Channel.
Yeah.
And I find it so amusing. And then there's a few times where you look at it and go, you know, this makes sense. All right. Quick break.
It's been on for 10 years. Wow.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah. Oh,
Where have I been?
Probably not being a dork.
Yeah, it's Friday.
I
Friday nights.
Well, no, it's all day Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I admit to being a complete dork, complete nerd. I make no bones about it. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Jerome can't
believe. Why'd you bother sending me this list of 300 things you wanted to talk about on today's show?
We never get to any of them. Come on.
I didn't even open up the file yet.
I think we got to 4. But that's how that means it was a good show. Because I always tell people, and there's just a little show prep thing for, you know, I send them a list of stories that I'd like to get to and tell them, hey, if there's something on there for sure you want to get to, bull face it. And, you know, Jerome already knows the routine. And then, but if we ever get to more than half of them, it's been a bad show.
You're struggling.
Yeah. I think we got to maybe 3 or 4 today. So I'm going to go with it's been a good show.
I could not believe it's 6:51. I just looked at it. I was like, wait a minute.
It's just flying by, man. You see the tweet from Brother Bear? He's got the first annual Area 51 5K fun run on September 20th, 2019. Says they can't stop all of us. And Grump says I should narrate it in a Texas twang commentary. You know, there's a lot of aliens that could have easily been in Mazatlan, Mexico. Yeah, I don't know if that works for me.
Yeah, see that now it's too much of a parody. Now it's a parody.
Yeah, it's got to be. You know. All right, I actually have a dumbass report, so let's do it. See what you think of these stories we have here.
Okay.
All right, you're a stand-up guy. You would never just go flash a woman in public, right?
Not unless it's a request. By her.
Yeah, well.
I have.
This guy pulled out his junk in front of women in public, and he at a woman named Aya Polanski. Well, the woman was a 6'1" personal trainer and former Israeli military veteran.
Ooh, that probably did not go well.
Instead of calling authorities, she chased down the man, tackled him, and pinned him.
Mm.
And at first she thought he'd accidentally pulled his pants down and he was going to urinate. She came to the realization that he pulled it out because he wanted to show it off and looked it directly at her while doing so.
He took it out.
She was yelling, call 911, call the police, and she chased him down. Let this be a lesson.
What was the coach's name? Coach Ballbreakers?
Ballbreaker, yeah.
So he took a tallywhacker out.
Yeah.
God. And the millennials are like, what the hell reference. Are they talking about? Porky's kids, look it up.
Here's another one, and I'll make this one quick since we're almost out of time. But in Tennessee's Smoky Mountains National Park, a man decided he wanted to get close to a bear and her cubs, which just really sounds like a stupid idea.
It's not wise, guys.
And, of course, it's just common sense. You don't approach a bear, right? Especially with cubs. Luckily, the bear charged him, of course. But retreated after her three cubs took off in a different direction, so she went to protect them. But idiot almost got eaten.
He's white, right?
I'm sure he is. Tennessee. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Jerome, great stuff, man.
Enjoyed it thoroughly, my man.
Always appreciate you filling in. Tyler, great job. Tomorrow will be Booker T and Brad Gilmore. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.